Cool. So thank you, Seth. Hi, everyone. My name is Mikkel Mørch Heinøy, and I'm part of the Visual Studio team that's building Azure Developer Experiences for you. So in the next 30 minutes, we're going to talk about Azure development and how the experiences of working with Azure from within Visual Studio in Visual Studio 27 has gotten even better. So I will be walking through some of the essentials of getting up and running with Azure development in Visual Studio 2017. We'll be looking at integrating with some of our developer services, like Application Insights for diagnostics. And finally, I'll spend some time looking into the Docker container tooling that we have for Visual Studio and a little bit around microservices as well. So let's get started. So as you've seen in the keynote and through some of the demos throughout the day, we have a new install experience for Visual Studio. Among the workloads that's available for you when you go and install Visual Studio, when I set it up, I usually go ahead with the ASP.NET and web development workload together with the Azure development workload. These two workloads together give me a good comprehensive toolbox to get going with Azure development. So let's just take a quick look at what's inside the workloads. So as you can see on the right-hand side here, we have a great overview of the components that get installed once we go ahead and choose the workload for our installation. So choosing the ASP.NET and web development workload, I get the .NET framework, I get .NET Core, and I get ASP.NET and web development tools. I also get developer analytics tools to help me work with Application Insights. And finally, container development tool is an optional component that we enable for you when you go ahead and choose this workload. The Azure development workload has some of the same components there and some required components that you need to actually interact with Azure. But what it also contains is it contains the tools for you to go and work with specific Azure services. So for instance, we have tools to work with Data Lake. We have tools to work with Azure Resource Manager, creating resource management templates. We have tools to work with cloud services and Service Fabric as part of this workload. So let's go ahead and look at what we can do once we have Visual Studio set up with these workloads. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a simple scenario of creating an ASP.NET web application that interacts with SQL Server and get that up and running in Azure in very little time. So from Visual Studio, I can go ahead and I can choose the ASP.NET web application for .NET Framework project template. I can go and create this new VS Launch app 2017. So for this quick demo, I'll just do an MVC application, and I'll enable some individual user account authentication to enable me to store my user profiles in SQL Server. So let's go ahead and create the project. Now, I did already set up my Azure resources for this demonstration. So I'm already able to go ahead and do the publishing from here on. So the project is created. I can start doing my local debugging. As this is a project we deliver with Visual Studio, I'm pretty confident it actually works. So I will just go ahead and publish it into Azure now. So from this new start page we have, you can see you get some quick guidance, a quick entry point to get some more guidance into what you can do, how you deploy to Azure if you want to connect services with your application, like connect to Azure Storage, for instance, from within your application. There's some guided experience for that in Visual Studio as well. Let me go ahead and choose Publish from the left-hand side menu. And as I told you, I already created the app service I want to publish to. So I'll go ahead and I'll select an existing app service. This dialog just iterates through my Azure subscriptions and the resources that are available to me and the resource groups that I'm available to deploy to. So I'll pick one of my websites and I'll go ahead and publish it. So what Visual Studio is doing for me now is it's building a release version of my application and it's publishing into the app service that I chose. When I created this app service and the website in Azure, I used a quick start template called Web Apps plus SQL Server. I can get that template either from the Azure portal or directly from within Visual Studio. using the Azure Resource Management templates. What's good about this template is that it puts me on this path where I get my web app configured with connection strings for the SQL server that's being set up together with it. So as you can see, now that I went ahead and deployed this application into Azure, I'm already set up to actually connect with SQL Server. So let's go ahead and just try to register a user in the web application, just to verify that our SQL Server connection is set up and actually working. So let's disclose an email address. We can get it right. Do the required password, making sure that it's the identical password. And now we should go ahead and get this user created into the database. So there you go. Within a few minutes, 2-3 minutes, we actually came from nothing in Visual Studio, creating a web application in ASP.NET, had it set up with a SQL Server connectivity, got it into Azure, and now it's up and running, web app plus database. Okay. So now that we've got applications up and running in Azure, we want to make sure that we get some great insights about how the application is doing. We get great tools to help us investigate issues and bugs that may come along while the application is running. Microsoft has an application performance management service called Application Insights. And Application Insights runs in Azure as an Azure service. What I can do with my application is I can enable Application Insight to help monitor the application, the performance, and the exceptions, and whatever diagnostics I want to get out of my application, using the developer service in Azure to feed data back into Visual Studio. So let me show a quick demonstration where I focus on some of the integration points we have with Visual Studio from Application Insights. So this is my sample application, FabriCamp Fiber. Which is an application to help control support tickets, dispatch service engineers, to help customers with, I guess it's fiber issues they might have. So this application is actually running in Azure, but in order to utilize Application Insights, your application don't necessarily have to run in Azure. So this MVC application has some different views and some different entities we can work with. So let's go ahead and try to create a customer and see what's actually happening here. We get an error, which is, since this is a diagnostics demo, expected. You probably won't normally show the detailed information of the error right in your production website, but I'm just doing this here to just make sure that I can go and find the same information in Visual Studio afterwards and show you how that actually works. So now that we had the exception occurring in our production environment, let's switch over to Visual Studio and to the code that's driving this website. So here I have the FabriCamp Fiber web MVC web application open in Visual Studio 2017. So as I told you, this is an MVC application. So I have a bunch of views and controllers and some models. And the controller that sits behind the customer view that just failed is the customer's controller that I've opened here. So what you immediately notice once you get into this controller file is that there are a few red dots over here that sort of drives your attention because there is something you might want to look at. So let's go down and look at these methods here. So this is my create method, which is the one that we just saw from the website. We tried to create a user, so it's probably the create method that is having issues. What you can see in the IDE is that CodeLens, which is this little line of text that sort of hovers above your method, is being fed from different systems to give me these insights in Visual Studio. You can see I get some feedback from source control, which could also run in cloud. And this is also where I get feedback from applications insights that are contextual to the specific chunk of code I'm looking at right now. So let's try to look at these exception messages that's being popped up here. So what we can see is that application insights is telling me that I have had 7 SQL exceptions occurring in my live environment within the last 24 hours. So this is actually diagnostics information being picked up on the live side, fed into Application Insights, and now it's feeding it back down to the developer directly where my code is at. So let's try to follow this over to the actual method that's throwing the exception, which is in this customer repository class. And I mean, the trained eye would probably notice that by uncommenting these few lines, we probably fixed the bug since this seems like a demo bug. But let's just go along with it for now and just follow the real exception that we get or the information that App Insights gives us directly on this method. So following the link into the exceptions that have been collected for Application Insights opens up the Application Insights search dialog. So this is a dialog or a window that is meant for me to help easily search through the different diagnostics and trace information that Application Insights is collecting for me. As you could notice here on top, I'm currently getting data from a production environment, meaning from the service in Azure. I could choose to not get this information from there and just get the information from a local debugging session instead. As I came to this window directly from the method causing the exceptions, the window is also the search is already filtered to only show those specific exceptions that I'm interested in. And I can go down here and I can pull up the individual exceptions and I can see the actual exception message from those exceptions, as we also saw them in the live side. So a quick demo here again about how developer services in Azure, specifically Application Insights, brings information down into Visual Studio 2017 and makes you very productive in tracking down bugs and fixing them quickly. Okay, so we've been through creating websites easily in Azure. We saw a bit about diagnostics and using developer services in Azure Application Insights to help us be more productive in Visual Studio. So let's change theme a bit and look into how container tools in Visual Studio 2017 works. And more specifically, let's try to look at a scenario where we want to take an older MVC ASP.NET application, put it in a container, and make it ready to be shifted off to the cloud or Windows Server container orchestrators to help us get better density and better reliability about an application that might run today in an IIS on a server somewhere in a data center. So the Docker tooling for Visual Studio has evolved quite a bit since we released it last year. And I'm going to show you some of the new experiences you have here. You might have noticed in the keynote earlier today, Scott Hanselman did a demo about working with Linux containers and .NET Core. I'm taking another route here, and I'm working with .NET framework applications that actually require IIS to run, and how we can put these into Windows containers. So this is my company visitor's web application, and let me just quickly show you this. This is actually a sample that we published like 4 years ago on MSDN. You can go and get it yourself and try to reproduce what I'm doing here. And this is just running in a website today. It's an application that records visitors to my company, so I can get some information about when I have meetings and what they're about. So I want to get this application in a container. I want to be able to run it in a container orchestrator. So all I have to do within Visual Studio is simply go to my web application, and I can go and I can add Docker support. So the few things that we do with the project and the solution along the way is, first of all, we add a Docker file to your project. And what's worth noticing here is that we understand the type of project that you want to sort of Dockerize, so to speak, or that you want to put in a container. So in this case, we know that it's an ASP.NET application you're running. So what we do is we instruct Docker, once we go ahead and build the container, that it needs to use the Microsoft slash ASP.NET base image for this application. That's an image that Microsoft creates and maintains and publishes to Docker Hub. And it's set up to actually run ASP.NET framework applications in IIS. So all that we have to do is basically go and copy our application code into init www root, and we should be good to running. So already, and you can also see I have the Docker Compose project here describing the service that's actually part of it. So I already have this container up and running, debugging locally. And you can see from the IP address now that I'm actually having this running in a container. Let me just show you the Docker PS command. Docker PS is the CLI command for Docker that shows me the running containers on the machine I'm currently working with. And what you can see here is I have this My Company Visitors Web application, container running. And what you can also see is that I list out the images that I have. I have the image right here. What's worth noticing here is that Visual Studio tooling tags these images that we use for development. So when you build your container images in the debug configuration, what we create is actually not a container that you can take and ship off to production. And the simple reason is that we do some optimizations to get the inner loop, meaning the quick debug, fix, write new code, debug, fix, write new code iterations that you do locally. We do some optimizations with this container image to make that run smoothly and quickly. So what we're actually doing is we're not putting the application in the container, and we're not doing that because it gives us the freedom to rebuild the application without having to recreate the container. So we are using a Docker concept called volume mapping, where we're basically mapping the application directory from within the container to your local machine. So what's happening when I go and hit the IIS server within the container is it's serving the application of the local file system on the host machine. So when you want to take your containers and you want to ship them off to production, you need to either set up a CI/CD system using VSTS to get on this repeatable route of continuously creating new containers that you can go and publish. Or from within Visual Studio, you simply build your container project in a release configuration. But as you can see here, we now have the application served from within a container running locally, and everything seems fine. So let's try to expand a bit on this, this path we sort of put ourselves on here. So what we did is we took this old application and we put it in a container, and now it's more agile. It just becomes easier for us to handle, to move it around and host it in a more reliable way in the cloud. So the next thing I want to do is I've been asked to actually extend some of the functionality in this application. So since this is an application that presents me with some records of visitors coming and visiting our company, we've been asked for the business to let's just enrich the information of the visitors we have with some information from our customer relationship management system. So basically what we want to do is we want to show some information about account manager, number of leads we have of these visitors that are coming to our company. Since we already have this application now running in a container, I've taken an approach to try to decompose the application and create a new microservice to handle that integration to my CRM system. So let's just find the Visual Studio. So what I've done in this project here is I've added a, let me find the right Visual Studio, there you go. So what I've done is I've added a new ASP.NET framework project to this solution. So this is just a web API with one controller, which is my CRM data controller, which is then my service that integrates to my backend CRM system. I put this into a separate application and running it as a microservice now, and I can quickly iterate and scale this in and out. I can add some caching functionality and different stuff I want to do, totally independent of the old application that sort of had more of a monolithic architecture. So what I've also did to this older application is I created a new controller to simply just interact with my new microservice. In that way, my client only have to contact this one web API, and maybe even over time, this old application will just turn into a simple gateway for the client to connect to the real services that has the functionality. So now that I've added this service into my Visual Studio solution, I can again go ahead and I can add Docker support to my new project. And what you will see again is now that I get a Docker file in this project as well, it's the same as the other Docker file you saw before, simply because it's the same type of project we're running. What also happened is in the Docker Compose file or the Docker Compose project that we have in Visual Studio, we now added this secondary service so that the tooling has all the information needed to instruct Docker to go and run both containers at the same time. Again, I've already built and have these containers running on my machine. You should be perfectly fine doing F5 from this on and go and debug. For the sake of time, I'm just going to show you this thing running now. And what you can see is that I now have a CRM integration service, also have a dev image running, and I have the My Company Visitors dev It's basically the same image I showed you before. This is just another instance of that. And I also have these two containers running, as you can see up here, from my Docker PS command. So just quickly showing you the end result, this is the application being served off the container locally. I can now go in, and you can see that the information about the visits that I have are now being populated with some extra CM data about who's the account manager and how many active leads do we have on these different visits or the visitors that are coming in. So let's do a quick recap of the demos here and what I've been showing you. So we started out with the new setup and workload definition in Visual Studio 2017. I showed you that the ASP.NET web and development workload together with the Azure workload gives you this great baseline toolbox to do great Azure development. I showed you a quick website being deployed with integration to SQL Server directly into Azure and how that only took a few minutes to get up and running. I saw you how developer services like Application Insights brings great information directly into your IDE, making you more productive in hunting down bugs and solving issues that you have in your production, production applications. And finally, we did a few demos around wrapping off older applications in containers and building them out into a new microservices architecture, and how you can do all of this with Visual Studio 2017 for local debugging scenarios.
All right, are we ready for some questions?
Yeah.
So a question from Bill Walter. If a project is started without Application Insights, how can it be added later?
That's a great question. So let's just look at my application that I just, the web application I just created to begin with. Now, to add Application Insights for this type of applications, I can actually use this start page and I can use the connected services menu on my left-hand side. And I can from directly in here go and add Application Insights at any time during my development cycle.
So a question that I have, because by the way, if you have questions, use hashtag VS2017. We'll try to get them on this lovely tag board. When building containerized applications, do you have any guidance as to how you should separate things out, or does Visual Studio as a tool help you understand how to do that?
Well, I would. We announced this morning in the keynote that we've built a reference application for microservices using .NET. And some other languages as well. So I would definitely recommend taking a look at that reference application and some of the principle it has applied to doing this. It's a reference application you can also work with from within Visual Studio.
Okay, so another question I have is when I'm building these things in Visual Studio, and let's just say I haven't used Docker before, when I'm putting those Docker files in there, what exactly is it that it's doing for me? And then when I'm deploying, is this using Docker locally? And then when I deploy to Azure, how is that all set up? And I know this is kind of a longer question. I'm hoping you can maybe elaborate for those of us that haven't built it this way before.
Yeah. So you need Docker for Windows to get all of this up and running on your Windows machine alongside Visual Studio 2017. And all that we do from within inside Visual Studio with the tooling is that we add it's called a native Docker primitive. So Docker files and Docker compose files are all concepts that comes from Docker. So tooling just helps you get this up and running. And then we call into the Docker for Windows API to actually build containers and get them running. So all the gestures I did within Visual Studio to get containers running and to build them, you can do command line just against using the Docker CLI against Docker. Now, all the containers you saw, I have running locally in my machine. And the whole promise of the container is that I can run them on my machine as a container, and moving them somewhere else to run them as a container should make no difference. It's, you know, no more, it works on my machine. So go and publish that Docker file or Docker image into a remote system. Typically involves that you go and publish it into a container registry. So we have a container registry in Azure called the Azure Container Registry. There's also a Docker Hub, where you can go and push your images once they're ready to be deployed. And then the actual host that will go and run this in a production, whether it be an Azure Container Orchestrator, will go and pull down the images from the registry.
So my question is, you mentioned Docker Hub and you mentioned a container registry. In the container registry, are these sort of the things that I've defined in Visual Studio as containers? I mean, I'm trying to understand because I feel like there's a place where it runs and there's a place where it's defined. Is that about it? Can you explain that a little bit?
What is defined is a container image.
Okay.
And it's the image I go and move into the repository.
Okay.
Oh, the registry, sorry. So the image is what's getting pulled down and then it's being run as a container.
I see. And so in Visual Studio, is there a way to deploy those containers directly to Azure?
You can do this from some of our project types today. Not all project types are supported, but you can do that and publish them into some of the Azure services that support running containers.
Awesome. And so you would publish them to the registry, and then on Azure you would use, for example, ACS or something else in order to orchestrate like when they are started up and when they die and when they live, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. So what are some other features inside of Visual Studio that enable people to use Azure a lot better, a lot faster?
So we have some great integration points. Most of them are things we brought over from older versions of Visual Studio. Like Cloud Explorer is a great way for me to interact directly with my Azure resources. I can do quick restarts of VMs, or I can get streaming logs or do remote debugging against different Azure services. So that's definitely one of them I want to call out.
Awesome. Okay, so where can people go to find out more the breadth of things that Visual Studio can do with Azure? I know that's kind of, because there's so much that you can do in Azure, but yeah. Then there's a set of tooling that's supposed to help you with that. Where can someone go to get started? Let's just say if they're working on a website.
So docs.microsoft.com is our central hub for all the documentation. We have an extensive documentation center there for working with .NET and other kinds of resources directly in Azure.
Another question from Alex B. So containerized apps with VS and Azure, why not just use Service Fabric? Not clear right now.
So Service Fabric also runs containers. So Service Fabric has some orchestration capabilities already. Today it's using it against its own application model. So you have to build services for application to be hosted in that model. But Service Fabric is adding support for also hosting containers. The scenario that will typically draw you to Service Fabric as opposed to another orchestrator for containers is if you have a mixed mode where you want to bring in something running in a container and you want to have services that are actually built against the Service Fabric application platform.
Awesome. So does Service Fabric have like a specific model that you're supposed to use as opposed to containers?
Service Fabric supports the Docker images that I've been building here. So regular Docker images are the one you can run. There are some Visual Studio tooling for you today to deploy as what we call guest containers into Service Fabric. But we will be evolving on that story in the near future to make it even more easy to get containers into Service Fabric.
Awesome. Last question I have. I know that you can do, for example, .NET Core applications using Docker into Linux. Are you running a Linux VM on your machine when this is happening? How does this all work?
So in the scenario where you run .NET Core applications in Linux container, Docker for Windows actually sets up a Linux host on your Windows machine. So it's actually in a virtual machine, a Linux virtual machine, you run in Linux containers when you have a local debugging story.
I see. That makes a lot more sense. This has been awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Coming up next, we have Zero to DevOps with the awesome Donovan Brown, and he's just right over here. So we're going to cut to him right now.